Are we living in the last days?
Be prepared. Be looking for the blessed hope. Be standing on tiptoe. Live every day in expectation of His glorious and promised return. You know, it's your outlook that determines your outcome. And if your outlook is an outlook of faith, you say, well, Pastor, aren't you discouraged about all these days? Not at all. I just say, praise God, it's getting gloriously dark. Because the darker it becomes, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. And because Christ is coming, I want to get ready. And one of the motivating factors of my life is because I believe that it could be today.
Welcome to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. I'm Scott Wilder. On today's program, Pastor Graham will look at the signs of the times to see if we are truly living in the last days. Now with his message called, The Future is Now. Here's Pastor Jack Graham.
In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, our Lord is facing the final days and the final hours of His life. And just before our Lord's betrayal, His trial and crucifixion, He took time to instruct His disciples and His followers in all generations as to the final chapters of human history. He spoke of the future. Now, there is a renewed interest today in the study of prophecy. And indeed today, there are many people who are offering solutions and ideas and even predictive and prophetic advice regarding the days ahead. There are soothsayers and prognosticators and channelers and New Age philosophers and astrologers. Let me say at the very outset that all of that kind of prediction and prophecy has a satanic source. There is only one true and abiding and living Word of God that is 100% accurate all of the time, and it is God's Word, the Bible. God's Word has given us a clear portrait and a clear picture regarding the final days and the final hours of human history. And just as God's infallible, inerrant Word of God spoke fluently and perfectly regarding the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, describing the very details of the promise and the fulfillment of the promised Messiah, so has our Lord and so has the Scripture spoken of the second coming of Jesus Christ and the days and the hours, the events at the last hour of the times. And indeed, we're facing some desperate days. The Apostle Paul in the third chapter of 2 Timothy spoke of these days as perilous and deadly and dangerous. And because of recent current events, we would be wise to ask the same question that the disciples asked our Lord 2,000 years ago. That question is given in chapter 13. And the answer that our Lord gave is the longest answer to any question in the Bible. It is known as the Olivet Discourse. And there on the Mount of Olives, Jesus took time, again, facing His own death and the final days of His own life. He takes time to describe the final days of the earth and the future that we now are experiencing. Look in verse 1 of chapter 13. Then as He went out of the temple, one of His disciples said to Him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said to him, Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now as He sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked Him privately, Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all of these things will be fulfilled? This is a message delivered by our Lord Himself concerning the signs, the signals of the last days. And we're asking in our day, when will these things be? These signs that Jesus Himself gave us here are graphic warnings of things to come and are clearly identifiable indications of what it will be like just prior and during the tribulation which is to come. Now, I want to hasten to say that I believe that Christians will take an early exit from the tribulation. In fact, before the tribulation period arrives, the Bible promises that Jesus will return and rapture his church. That is, translate all genuine believers to heaven. That we're going to be with Christ during this period. And then the tribulation is going to follow. But, if we look around and see the darkening of the days and the desperation of mankind around us, as we see these signs multiplying and intensifying, we must be aware that we could be living in these final hours, and we need to prepare ourselves for these eschatological events that Jesus talks about in the 13th chapter of Mark, and then in a more extensive version of this same Olivet Discourse in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. When will these things be? So Jesus gave some signs. One is spiritual deception, that is, counterfeit Christ. Look at verse 5 of chapter 13. And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many." Now, in every age, of course, there have been false prophets and even those who have claimed to be the Christ. But remember, these signs of the time are multiplied. They are intensified in the last days. Again, like labor pains. And the times will grow worse and worse, and there will be more and more. And today, we've seen a proliferation of false religions and cults and phony prophets and deceivers. There are many false Christs today. There's the false Christ of liberalism. Those who take the Bible apart and even the words of Jesus apart and rip them from the pages of God's holy word. They're the mediums of the New Age and the channelers and the Eastern religious gurus, and many baby boomers today, because of the spiritual vacuum in their life, are turning to meditation and spiritual forces that are not personal but are out there somewhere, which they say guide their lives. This is a very religious time. We're more religious perhaps than ever before, but I wonder, are we more spiritual? The Bible says in the last times that there will be those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. We're seeing an increase of deception, and it's often religious deception. Now, the deception of the end times will be especially evil and pernicious, because you see, the real Christians at the time of the rapture of the church will be translated. They'll be gone. No more church. Real church, that is. The word of God will not be proclaimed. The Holy Spirit will be taken away. And the world will get what it's always wanted. A world without God, a world without the church, a world without Christians, a world without spiritual truth. And in the midst of that moral and spiritual vacuum, many people are going to cry out to God. And yet all restraint will be gone, and hell will all break loose upon the earth. That's why Jesus said here, take heed, keep your eyes open, because when the world falls apart, you're going to need truth. And there will be so much untruth. As a matter of fact, after a line of false messiahs and false religious teachers, the ultimate antichrist will come. The super statesman of Satan, who will come along, and the Bible says, deceive the whole world. And his henchman, the false prophet, a religious prophet, will join with him in seducing all of those upon the earth. And the Bible says, God himself shall send them strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. The lie. The ultimate lie of the Antichrist. And because people are living in deception and have learned and listened to false prophet after false prophet, and because there's no real truth that remains, many will believe the lie and die without Christ forever. Yes, in the last days, there will be spiritual deception, counterfeit Christ. And then there will be continual conflict, that is, international dissension. Look at verses 7 and 8. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. Jesus said, cheer up, don't worry about this, because this just proves that the Bible is true. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. In the final hours of history, there will be wars galore. Now, of course, once again, we've always known wars and fightings and battles around this planet. Historians tell us that in the 5,000 years of recorded human history, there have been 4,000 wars. Wars and rumors of wars. And then he talks about physical destruction, costly catastrophes at verse 8. He says there will be earthquakes in various places and there will be famines and troubles. Physical destruction, catastrophic events will increase and rock the world. Earthquakes, famines, disease, starvation. We've all looked with horror at the stick children with bloated bellies starving in Ethiopia and Eastern Africa and Bangladesh before and now. There are millions upon millions who are dying of disease and starvation. And of course, in the last time, because of the wars, because of nuclear disasters, because of deception and lies that are told, there will be many who will face pestilence and disease. The AIDS epidemic is escalating. 60 million HIV carriers in the world with an infection rate of 100% per year. An estimated 3 million AIDS victims worldwide with a mortality rate of 100%. Diseases that we never even heard about a few years ago. And more diseases to come will ravage mankind. And Jesus said, these are but the beginning of sorrows. This same word signs was also used in the scripture to refer to the death struggle. And as mankind faces extinction and death, the tribulation is on its way. And that's why as we look around us, as we see all of this developing, we have to stop. We have to ask God, have mercy. We have to pray, oh God, move in our family, move in our church, move in our world during these terrible times.
You're listening to Jack Graham's message titled, The Future Is Now. And a quick reminder, you can order a copy of today's message on CD on our website, jackgraham.org. While you're there, be sure to check out our extensive selection of products and gifts, as well as our archive of previous messages from Pastor Graham. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Before we rejoin Pastor Graham, you can receive a copy of his 365-day devotional called A Daily Encounter with God when you call 1-800-795-4627. This resource is our gift to say thank you for your financial support of this PowerPoint program. So give us a call and request it. Our number is 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Once again, with his message, The Future Is Now, here's Pastor Jack Graham.
But then Jesus spoke of tribulation miseries. What would these miseries be when the onslaught of the tribulation arrives? Well, there will be personal miseries. Verses 9 through 13 describe some of these personal miseries. Jesus, for example, said believers will be delivered up. Verse 9, watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils and to synagogues for judgment, and you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony to them. Verse 11, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, don't worry. Don't premeditate what you'll speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now again, the Church of Jesus Christ, in my estimation, as I've studied the Bible, will be gone. But there will be people who will come to believe in Jesus during the tribulation period. The book of Revelation tells us, for example, that 144,000 Jewish evangelists will cover the earth with the message of Christ. And those will stand before judgment. And I believe it is that to which Jesus refers. But of course, he's always warning us about preparing for tribulation. The early Christians went through severe persecution and tribulation. Many were martyred for their faith. Jesus said, expect it throughout all the generations. Take heed unto yourselves, he said. Be prepared. Persecution will increase. And it is important in our times to understand that there will be an increasing adversarial position against the Christian faith and against genuine believers in our times. And as we face the last days, there will be a target on every believer. That is why it is so very, very important that you strengthen your faith, and in these tough times in which we live, that you stand for truth and stand for righteousness regardless of the cost. Did you know that there are people that are dying for the faith in our world today? In these times, in these turbulent times, we must stand for Christ. And sometimes I wonder, in these last days, what are all these hothouse Christians going to do? These candy-legged soldiers, these religious Sunday morning bench warmers, lukewarm, half-hearted, half-in, half-out Christians, what are they going to do when the times get tough? I've been amazed over the years that some who have quit in the midst of difficulty, some who once stood strong for God and strong for Christ, who are now out of the race. And my constant prayer is, oh God, keep me in the race all the way to the end. God, keep me strong no matter what. For Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved. Now, that doesn't mean that we're saved by enduring. It means that because we endure, because we are saved, rather, we will endure. And so he said, get ready, because persecution is on the way. There will be personal miseries, and then there will be national miseries in verses 14 to 23. And we're not going to reflect on this at all this morning because it's a sermon, several sermons in one. But he talks about the abomination of the temple, the abomination of the desolation of the temple. The national miseries of Israel will take place during the tribulation. And please note that the temple is active during the tribulation period. Worship is taking place. Sacrifices and offerings are being given to God. And let me just say that there is no event, there is no sign that needs to be fulfilled to keep Christ from coming for his Christians, for his people, today, right now. I'm not looking for any more signs. I'm listening for the shout. Because Christ is coming again. But there's one final word here, and that's post-tribulation manifestations. In chapter 13, verses 24 and 25, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars of heaven will fall and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. God will shake his creation. God will demonstrate his control over his creation as helter-skelter, the moon and the sun and the stars will bounce across the skies. And while it appeared during the tribulation period that God was out of it, that God was not in control, that Satan and his crowd were in control, God at the post-tribulation period shakes his creation and shakes this earth and shakes the universe just to say one more time, I'm in control here. Sometimes puny man thinks, I'm in control of my life. I'm in control of my destiny. I'm in control of my future. And then God comes in and just shakes that man or that woman to the core. And anytime anyone turns their back on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can expect catastrophic events to follow. When Jesus hung and died upon that cross, forsaken of man, forsaken of God, when mankind turned his back on Jesus Christ, there were events, earthquakes, the graves gave up their dead, the place turned as black as midnight at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There were powerful events that signaled the death of Jesus Christ, that God was in control even though man had turned his back on Jesus. When Jesus comes again, God will shake this world again. And then God will not only shake his creation, but God will send his Christ. Look at verse 26 and we're finished. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds in great power and glory. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, he'll come with great glory and power. He came the first time in humility. He comes the second time in honor, with great glory and power. He came the first time to die on the cross for our sins, to take our place upon the cross. But he comes again to reign and rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Revelator John tells us that in the last times, that when Christ returns, he'll be riding a white stallion. And guess what? We're going to be with him. Been practicing your horseback riding lately? Because you're going to be riding with him. And when Christ comes again with the word of his mouth, he will conclude all things. And all of these signs, these birth pains, will conclude. And there will be a new birth for planet Earth. And a new heaven and a new earth. And everything will come under the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will send his Christ. And so Jesus wrapped it all up with two words of encouragement, two stories, two parables. And in the parables, he gave us the practical point of application. Number one, he said, be watching. Be waiting. Be watching. Be prepared. Be looking for the blessed hope. Be standing on tiptoe. Live every day in expectation of his glorious and promised return. You know, it's your outlook that determines your outcome. And if your outlook is an outlook of faith, you say, well, Pastor, aren't you discouraged about all these days? Not at all. I just say, praise God, it's getting gloriously dark. Because the darker it becomes, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. And because Christ is coming, I want to get ready. And one of the motivating factors of my life is because I believe that it could be today. It could be today. The writer John said, he that has this hope in him purifies himself. And the reason that I want to walk in righteousness, the reason that I want to walk in purity, one of the reasons is because I know today could be the day that I stand before Almighty God. Be watching. And then he said, be working. He told a parable there about a man who went away and left his employees in charge. And then he said he returned and found some of them sleeping. I don't want to be sleeping when Christ returns. I want to be ready. I want to be responsive. I want to be working. I want to be witnessing. I want to be sharing Christ. I want to be talking about Jesus. I want to be telling as many people as possible about him and take as many with me as I can when he comes again. Jesus is at the door. The future is now.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and the message, The Future is Now. You can order a copy of today's message on our website at jackgraham.org. When you're online, be sure to shop our e-store or stream previous messages from Dr. Graham to help you grow spiritually. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And remember, we would like to send you a copy of Pastor Graham's 365-day devotional book called A Daily Encounter with God, filled with scripture and challenging devotional thoughts for each and every day of the year. A Daily Encounter with God will empower you to live full out as a servant of Jesus Christ. So give us a call today and request your copy of A Daily Encounter with God when you give your donation. 1-800-795-4627. Again, our number is 1-800-795-4627. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today? Well, I know every one of us are concerned about our times. These are troubled times, but we shouldn't be surprised that these dark and perilous times have come, because Paul tells us in 2 Timothy that in the last days, dangerous days, perilous times will come. Jesus warned us of the final apocalypse. Now, we don't run around saying the sky is falling, but we do live with a sense of urgency and the emergency of our times. There is a soberness to our lives because we realize that we only have so much time, and whatever we're going to do for Jesus as followers of Christ, we need to do it now. If you're going to lead somebody to Christ, do it now. If you're going to commit your life and get active in your church, then do it now. If you're going to be involved in ministry and touching someone else's life and serving Christ, even if it's with a cup of cold water in His name, then do it now, because people desperately need to know of the love of Jesus Christ. And every time I preach a message like the one I delivered today, every time I pray and think about the last times, I don't live in fear, but I look in faith to the Christ who is coming, because I've settled the issue. I'm ready for Christ to return. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back again, and I hope you are as well. Live with an expectancy, on tiptoes, with joy as you anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ. If you're not ready, oh, how important it is to get ready, to get your life right with God, to turn from your sin and trust in Christ. If you are not a Christian, that you would believe in Him today before it is forever and finally too late. And if you are a Christian, and maybe you're not walking with Christ, maybe you're not living the life that you profess, now's the time to get your life together with Him. John said in his book, 1 John, "Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, you will have confidence and not be ashamed at His coming." I don't want to be ashamed when Jesus comes for me. I want to live in the expectancy and the hope that is mine every day.
And that is today's PowerPoint. We'll say thanks for your donation to PowerPoint by sending you a copy of Pastor Graham's 365-day devotional called A Daily Encounter with God. Just call today, give your donation, and request your copy of the special devotional book. 1-800-795-4627. One last time, that's 1-800-795-4627. And next time, Pastor Graham will take a look at the longest day. We hope you'll be with us then on the next edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham.